It's certainly good to be with you tonight. What a privilege it's been to be able to assemble as God's children as we've done this morning and as we are now doing this evening, having the opportunity to worship God in spirit and in truth. I certainly appreciate all of the men who have taken a part in our worship services this morning. We are very grateful for this congregation, very grateful for the leadership, very grateful for your faith. And it's our prayer that we will continue to grow in our faith, to grow in our love for one another. As it was announced this morning, we will be having a devotional period Tuesday evening at our house. We've been doing that once a month. We certainly enjoy opening our home and having you there, being able to spend some time in prayer and study of God's Word, and then sharing a meal with one another. This week's menu, or this month's menu, is going to be Italian. And so if you like Italian food, that's what we'll be having, Lord willing, Tuesday night. If you can make it, we certainly would love to see you Tuesday night. Well, tonight, as we gather to open God's Word, as we did this morning, let's remember that our faith has a goal. And that goal is brought out in Peter's words in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9, where the Apostle Peter says, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls." Again, as we think about that goal, we see that that goal is our eternal salvation. As you consider what the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, you remember he says, I press toward that mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Again, that's the reward that Paul was pursuing. That was the goal that he was pursuing, the same goal that Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 9. And so as Paul went through this life, Paul was thinking about his eternal salvation. As we go through this life, it's important again to remember the goal. It's important to remember that the goal is our eternal salvation. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to open to Philippians chapter 2. And we just want to note a couple of passages from Philippians chapter 2 that talk about this goal. As we strive to reach that goal, our eternal salvation, we need to remember that God will do His part. For example, in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." We should take great comfort in those words because it reminds us that God is pulling for us. God is working on our behalf. God is helping us reach that goal. God is interested in our salvation. You see, from Philippians chapter 2, verse number 12, we can conclude that God doesn't want us to fail. He's going to do His part. He's going to do His part to help us reach that goal. Now, as you're looking at Philippians chapter 2, if you go to verse number 12, not only does God have a part, but we have a part. And you'll see our part in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, when Paul says that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And so when it comes to reaching that eternal goal, the salvation of our souls, we see that God has a part. And we know that God's going to do His part. We need to be convinced like Abraham. You remember Romans 4, verse 21, we see that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God promised, he was able to also perform. God tells us again that He is going to be with us and He is going to help us along the way, and we need to be like Abraham. We need to be fully persuaded that as we strive to reach that goal, God is doing everything that He can to see us finish what we started. We also have to recognize, as we just pointed out, that we have a part in this. And we have to do our part. You see, God isn't going to fail. If somebody fails in this pursuit of reaching the goal, we are the ones that fail. And so as we think about eternal salvation, we must understand that on that day of judgment, if I'm eternally lost, it wasn't God's fault. It was my own fault. Because I didn't strive to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. I know that He's going to do everything that He can. Remember this point, because we're really building this lesson around this point. God doesn't want us to fail. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, the just shall live by faith, and God says, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. God doesn't want us to draw back. God doesn't want us to fail. Now, with that backdrop, let me invite you to open your books to Zephaniah. Turn with me, open your Bibles to Zephaniah chapter 3. From Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 2, I have titled this, A Formula for Failure. Now remember, God doesn't want us to fail. But here in Zephaniah chapter 3, we see a formula for failure. And as we go through this verse tonight, we're going to have great insight. God's going to give us great insight into why His people fail. Now, as you look at the book of Zephaniah, I want you to remember that Zephaniah was pronouncing judgment upon the nations. He was also pronouncing judgment upon Judah. And as we look at chapter 3, we see that God is speaking to Judah. And again, this is why Judah, God's people, failed. Well, notice how God describes His people in chapter 2, verse 1. Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. Notice how God describes His people, not desired. Notice how He describes His people in chapter 3, verse 1. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. Again, how does God view His people? He views them as being polluted. What was their failure? What was their downfall? Look at verse number 2. She obeyed not the voice. The point is, Judah failed to listen to God. That's why, again, Judah failed. Judah refused to listen to God. They refused to hearken to God. There are so many examples of this problem that you see throughout the Old Testament. You see God's people. You see individuals who refuse to listen. One example that comes to mind is recorded in 1 Samuel 25. It's an interesting story about Nabal. You remember his wife Abigail? What a beautiful woman outwardly and also inwardly. But as you think about Nabal, Nabal was a very difficult person. In fact, when David hears that Nabal and his servants are in the vineyard shearing the sheep, you remember David sends messengers. He sends his servants because David and his servants needed food. But you remember how Nabal responded? Do you think I'm going to give up my stuff? You see how selfish he was? He ridiculed David's servants. And when Nabal's servants hear this, they approach Abigail and they tell Abigail what had just happened. And his own servants, Nabal's own servants in 1 Samuel 25, verse number 17, talk about how unreasonable Nabal was. And his whole point was Nabal wouldn't listen to anybody. He was so hard-hearted, he wouldn't listen to anybody. And that is what God is saying about his own people. My people won't listen to me. I cannot reason with my people. Now, I want you to mark this and turn back to Jeremiah chapter 6. And I want you to notice a couple of verses in Jeremiah chapter 6, because Jeremiah was a contemporary of Zephaniah. Jeremiah was preaching basically the same message at the same time to the same people. And here, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, ye shall find rest unto your souls. But they said, we will not walk. Now look at verse 17. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Again, we're reading about Judah's failure. We see it here in Jeremiah 6, verse 17. We see this formula for failure in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 2. What was their downfall? They wouldn't listen. Make the application. As we think about our own spiritual lives, as we strive to reach that goal, it's important to listen to God. You see, the only way that we will find ourselves growing, the only way that we will find ourselves maturing, depending upon God, is if we are listening to God. One of my favorite verses on this subject is found in Habakkuk 2, verse number 20, where the prophet says, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. You know, when it comes to words, we're probably all guilty of speaking too much. We're all guilty for not being a good listener. When it comes to relationships, counselors will tell you all the time, you need to be a good listener. For some reason, we have a hard time listening. And even when it comes to our spiritual life, if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be strong, we have to take time to listen to God. James, in James 1:19, says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, for the wrath of man cannot work the righteousness of God. But notice that. Again, we need to be ready, swift to hear. We need to be ready to listen to God. Like Samuel, Lord, speak. Lord, I'm here listening. Just like Peter, Jesus told Peter in Luke 7, verse number 4, I have many things to say unto you. And I like how Peter responds here, Lord, say on. Lord, say on. And I hope that describes our life spiritually speaking. We see again a formula for failure. The children of Israel refused to listen. Think about the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, who told Peter, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. To hear all things. Friends, if we are willing to listen to God, then God is going to be able to work in our lives. Remember, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. But we have to be willing to listen to God, because what God has to say is important. And if we're willing to listen to God, then God can work with us. Then God can teach us. As we see in Psalm 143, verse number 10, where David says, Lord, Thy Spirit is good, and Lord, lead me into the land of uprightness. Lord, I want You to teach me. I want You to guide me. One more passage under this point. If you would, turn over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we see that these Hebrew Christians in Hebrews 5, verse number 11, were dull of hearing. The writer says we have many things that we need to speak about. We have many things that need to be uttered, but listen, you are dull of hearing. You are dull of hearing. And as you continue to look at Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, the writer talks about being on the meat of God's Word and not the milk. Those who are on the milk of God's Word are unskillful in the Word of righteousness. They're immature. God wants us to be on the meat of God's Word so that we can discern between good and evil. Do you see why it's so important to listen? How are we ever going to learn, spiritually speaking, to discern between good and evil if we never take time to listen to God? A spiritual formula for failure. She obeyed not the voice. Go back, if you would, to Zephaniah chapter 3 and notice the second point. She received not correction. She received not correction. Some translations, she received not instruction. Now, as you think about instruction, correction, those terms go hand in hand. You can't separate those two terms because that is the very nature of God's Word. When we open the Word of God, when we turn to the new covenant, that covenant that's been sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, God is instructing us. God is teaching us. And as God instructs, as God teaches, He corrects us. You remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Everything that we find in God's Word is profitable for instructing us in righteousness. The correction, the rebuke, the reproofs, the admonitions that we find in God's Word, they're there for a reason. And Solomon would say in Proverbs 6, verse 23, reproofs and instruction, I like this, are the way of life. Again, reproofs and instruction, Solomon says, that's the key to life. But we have to be willing to listen to God, and we have to be willing to take what God teaches us and allow it to mold us, allowing it to conform us into the very image of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, we see this really brought out in John 15, 1 through 3, where Jesus talks about, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, listen to the language, He purgeth, that it may bring forth more fruit. What is He talking about? He purgeth. Well, look at verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the Word which I have spoken to you. We're learning something about God's Word. God's Word instructs us. God's Word purges us. You see, we go through a purging process. Spiritually speaking, as we listen to God, as we follow God's instruction, we are clean through the Word. We need to receive God's instruction. Here's another passage that you may want to jot down from the book of Proverbs, chapter 15, verse number 10. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 10. Correction. Listen to this. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Now, we see that from the Scripture, but let's be honest. We have a hard time, probably because we are human beings, we have a hard time receiving correction. Anytime somebody corrects us, we get defensive, don't we? We hold our ground. We're ready to give answer. Sometimes maybe that's our response to what we find in God's Word. You see, if we're going to reach that goal, our eternal salvation, we have to be willing to listen to God. We have to be willing to receive His instruction and allow His instruction, His guidance, to correct us in this life. And as God's Word corrects us, we become a better people. In fact, when you go back to the context, John 15, verse 8, sometimes we quote this verse, but we leave out the first part of John 15. John 15, verse number 8, "Here is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit." I love that context of bearing fruit. And if you consider what Jesus is saying about bearing fruit, Jesus is talking about the product of right living. You see, God wants us to live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, Titus 2, verse 12. And God has communicated His will to us. But if we're going to live soberly, righteously, and godly, if we're going to bring about the product of right living, we understand there's a process to that. There's a purging process. And so if we're going to be faithful, we don't need to ignore the correction. We don't need to resist it. We need to welcome that correction. That's the attitude that we should have toward the Word of God. Lord, correct me. Lord, help me. In Jeremiah chapter 7, remember the context of Zephaniah. Jeremiah wrote the same time that Zephaniah did. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 28, God says, "My people will not receive my correction." A spiritual formula for failure. She obeyed not the voice, Zephaniah 3, verse number 2. She received not correction, Zephaniah 3, verse number 2. And listen to the third point. She trusted not in the Lord. I believe this point really ties in to what we were talking about this morning from Psalm 16, trusting in the Lord. When we talk about trusting in the Lord, we're talking about depending upon God for everything. As we mentioned from Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And God says, listen, I will bless you. In Psalm 118, verse 8, the psalmist says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. What do you trust in? Hopefully, if we're going to be a faithful child of God, we're trusting in the Lord in everything. How do I know I am trusting in the Lord? Are you listening to God? Are you welcoming His instruction, His counsel? Are you receiving His correction? If we're doing those things help us understand that we are truly relying upon Him. Again, she obeyed not the voice, a formula for failure. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. And notice our last point. She drew not near to her God. If you write in your Bible, there's a verse that I would like for you to write down by verse number 2. And that's 2 Chronicles 7, verse number 14. And you'll notice that 2 Chronicles 7, 14 goes hand in hand with what we're seeing right here. God told His people, "If my people shall hear my voice and turn from their wicked ways and repent of their sins," He says, "I will hear them from heaven. I will forgive their iniquity and I will heal their land." If my people will do this. If my people will turn away from these things and draw near to me, I'll listen to them. I'll help them. I will hear their voice and I will heal their land. Now, as you think about this spiritual formula for failure, you see these points right here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse number 2. If this is a spiritual formula for failure, we can look at these points and we can turn them around and we can see a formula for success. That is, we need to hear God. We need to follow God's instruction. We need to receive His correction. We need to trust Him and we need to draw near to God. In James 4, verses 7 and 8, we learn that if we will draw near to God, He will draw near to us. God is helping us. God is doing everything that He can to help us draw near to Him. I'm thankful for the Old Testament. And I'm thankful that these things were written for our learning. And I hope we will take insight to what we see here in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 2, and allow their mistakes to help us in this life, because we don't want to make the same mistakes. We want to receive the end of our faith, the salvation of our souls. The lesson is yours tonight. If you need to respond, won't you please do so as we stand and as we sing.